The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This is a numbers game. Un partido de números, for those listening in Spanish today.
Oh, muy bien.
JVT on the show, co-host of VSiN Primetime, our senior NBA analyst. Coming up, Will Hill, all his plays in baseball and beyond. Come on, Guardians. Can't lose like that yesterday. Need a bounce back today. Ben Rossa, full Masters talk. Ben Rossa from Stochastic and Odds Shopper. Talking 88th Masters with us. Jason Weingarten as well. He's got some golf bets. We should probably mention at the beginning of the show, because we'll mention it a couple times, we're in, obviously, like everybody, in full Masters mode. We have not one. We have two podcasts. Don't listen to it while we're on the air, but after we're off, you know, you can listen to it whenever the rest of the day. But we have a Long Shots podcast that's out there with Kelly Bidlin, my friend over here, Wes Reynolds, and Matt Brown. And then we also have the Beating the Book Masters podcast, the 88th. We've done this for over a decade. You and Wes were kind enough to join me, as well as Sia Najad. So there's a little of something for everything. How would you even distinguish? Like, Long Shots is a little more numbers-driven. Does every Long Shots podcast devolve into Wes and Matt fighting at the end and you screaming and then it goes to black?
No, it does not.
But it should. That should be every Long Shots podcast.
Yeah, it'd be more fun. That would be more fun.
And the Beating the Book podcast is a little more Jewisher, I think, is how I would distinguish the two. Because we talk about college basketball and somehow got in there as well.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a break at the golf talk.
A little bit of a break in there.
I mean, as you always do, I think you did a great job guiding me, Wes, and Sia through the kind of more general Masters themes and conversations. And yeah, Long Shots is definitely more detailed. Wes and I will be doing another one today to kind of recap.
Oh, my God.
Recap all the bets
enough
we ended up
making. Already.
I know. Recap all the bets we ended up making. I don't know. I might just hang out in the Circus studio all afternoon and just bring in people.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Gil, if you don't mind, I'm going to go listen to Long Shots because there's less of you and your kind on that one rather than yours, if you know what I mean. Okay. Like, can we start with the NBA for a second?
Let's do it.
I hesitate to do this because it's really convoluted even with two or three games left in the season, respectively, for every team. As we near the playoffs finally, or the play-in, more accurately. But I'm going to try to go through this because it could inform your make-miss playoff bets in the NBA. It could also inform something later in the week, which I want to ask you about. So right now, let's just start in the East. Well, let's just do the West real quick. Wolves, Nuggets, big game tonight. Wolves own the tiebreakers over both the Thunder and the Nuggets. You should know that. Right now, Denver and Minnesota, dead heat tie, 55-24 with the Thunder one game behind. But again, Wolves own the tiebreakers over the Thunder and the Nuggets if it were to come to that. Split the series with the Thunder, split the division record, but that they could win that outright with the win versus the Nuggets tonight. Own the third tiebreaker conference record over OKC, if you care.
The only one that gets funky with that one, Gil, is if they all – so what if all three teams tie?
Three-way.
Yeah, because then the tiebreaker rules are a little different.
Right. It would be, I guess, head-to-head sweep, division record, conference record, I believe.
It's the division winner. Yeah,
division
so
winner.
The division winner gets crowned.
That's correct.
Yes.
Division winner. Clippers, who had a big win yesterday. Clippers led their game yesterday against Phoenix. 9-0, 19-2, and 34-5. No, 35-4. Pardon me, even worse.
Yeah.
Clippers are up on the Mavericks for the 4 seed by 2 games. They own the tiebreaker over the Mavericks. Mavs have the tiebreaker over Phoenix. Warriors with that big win over the Lakers last night, where they hit 26 threes. Warriors have a tiebreaker over the Lakers now for the 9th position, if you will. Warriors do not have the tiebreaker against the Suns, potentially. Suns would have it over the Warriors. Warriors yet to be determined versus the Kings. It goes on and on. Lakers tiebreaker over the Suns have lost it to the Kings and Warriors. Still to decide against the Pelicans. You could do it from every team's perspective. Pelicans have the tiebreaker over the Kings, have lost it to the Suns, have one game left to decide versus the Lakers, as we said. Suns have it over the Warriors and Pelicans. I mean, it's such a logjam, right? Have lost to the Lakers, still to be determined against the Kings. And from the Kings' perspective, they have the tiebreaker over the Lakers, have lost to the Pelicans, split with the Warriors, and have a crucial game left versus the Suns. So again, it's all basically you need to know where those seedings would land. The East is a little more interesting. So all that I just said, you know, have fun with that.
What is Jesus?
Oh, because my man is right behind. So we have 30 video poker machines, and there's a dude who's decided to play the one right behind Kelly and is coughing up a storm. There he is, right behind Kelly. Kelly is losing it. All right. Bucks beat the Celtics last night. Celtics are the number one seed. Hey, we're having a little security. So there you go. Bucks. So the Celtics are the number one seed no matter what. Doesn't matter. They won't have one of the top 15 records of all time. Don't worry about that. But they will be the number one seed. The Celtics will. But the Bucks, with that win yesterday, they still own the tiebreaker now over Orlando and New York. The Bucks inhabit the number two position in the East. One loss better than the Knicks. Two better in the loss column over the Magic and the Cavaliers. But while the Bucks currently own the tiebreaker over the Knicks and Magic, they do not own it over the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers and the Bucks split. The Cavs have it on division record over the Bucks.
Yep. Yeah, they still have, and I'll jump in here as you're going through here with the just Pro Basketball Reference does a great job of kind of going through what the probabilities are for each team to land in each seed. So right now, Bucks 66.2% chance at that two seed. You're talking Cavs 16% and then Knicks about 12%.
Right. Informed by all those tiebreakers.
Correct, yes.
By the way, it should be noted for those who are, remember the in-season tournament, that the reason that the Cavs own the tiebreaker over the Bucks is because the Pacers beat the Bucks in the in-season tournament. And so if they hadn't done that, it wouldn't be the Cavs winning the tiebreaker. So the in-season tournament actually has an effect on this. A side note.
The Cavs seeding probabilities are crazy now. It's
ridiculous.
16% for two, 13% for three, 30% for four seed, 22% for five seed, 12% for six seed. We're talking there's only five more days left of the regular season.
Okay, because I'm already bored talking about this, right? I want to move on to a more interesting subject. Now, that should inform your, you know, yes-nos to make the playoffs, yes-nos to make the play-ins, whatever markets you're betting in. By the way, one more thing. Indiana does control its destiny for the five seed if they win out. One back of the Cavs, play them still this week, have a tiebreaker over the Knicks. It's a whole thing. But here's what I really want to ask you. Okay. So let's say we get to the weekend, right? Some of these are going to be determined a little beyond what we just talked about. Take a team like the Magic, okay? I want to ask you about this. So the Magic right now are in the four spot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that if they enter, like, their final game, do you think seeding will matter to these teams? So in other words, if the Magic can figure out a way to not get into the Celtics stack. Let's just take the Magic as an example, right? So if the Magic, right now they're in four, they'd have to play theoretically, right? They'd have to play the Cavs right now, but really then they'd have to play the Celtics in round two, if all went out. Do you think a team like, and it might not just be the Magic, but any of these teams, but let's just use them as an example, if they can lose to assure themselves a three rather than a two, or if they can win to assure themselves lose to assure themselves a five instead of a four, just to avoid the Celtics in round two, do you think teams will do that just from a handicapping perspective this weekend?
No. Not losing. I mean, when you're talking in that range, the problem is it's home court, right? Like, you're not...
4-5 is home court,
right?
But 3-4 would not be. Or 2-3 would not be for the first round.
Yeah, for the first round, correct. Yeah, so I don't think they're not going to be in that position where they could have that option.
They might be.
I don't think
they won't be.
You don't want to fall back. I don't think you want to fall back. I mean, maybe if you were, these teams are just going to be too closely clumped together is the problem. You know, even like it's just one of the. I feel like we talked about that during the NFL season. Even if you try to do something, you don't know what these other teams are going to do.
Well, the 2-3 thing could happen because they could be in a position where if they won, theoretically, they could get the 2 seed, but instead they'll just say, yeah, let's not try to win this game.
Right.
It wouldn't be like they'd be falling from 2-3, but they would have the opportunity to go from 3-2.
Yeah, yeah.
And would shun that.
Yeah, I agree. That one a little bit different. I think that if you're in that 4 seed, nah, you're still, especially with these teams in the Magic being as young as they are, that home court first round is going to be so big for them.
I just think that conversation is worth having every year.
Plus, they've owned the Celtics the past, like, 2 years.
Because books do funny... That's right. Because books do funny things. The last day of the season, even some of the more proud books who claim to take all kinds of action, when it comes down to like money line parlay Sunday, they limit folks to like $25 or something.
Yep.
And I'm talking about the big books. So the books are well aware of these thoughts. And I'm just curious if we make more of seeding than the actual teams do.
No.
Something to ponder, I guess, is what I'm saying, as you go into the weekend.
I think almost every team, every position, situation is different. I don't necessarily would say in general, though, that we care more or less than the teams do about their seeding when you get to this point.
I think we do sometimes, though.
Think so?
I do. I think, like, as bettors, we tend to dive into every possibility, and so we ultimately end up making more of some things than our actual reality. But it's something to consider, and I think every year you have to talk about that. But with 2-3 games left, my God, it's almost an impossible task to try to unravel. Hope we lend some insight there. JVT on the NBA on the other side, and a whole bunch of Masters right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter.
Oh, it's all master stuff. We've got stuff from Wes. We've got stuff from the Betting Primer. We've got long shots, promos, and everything. All the podcast details that we've been doing. All masters all week here.
Wow, you really dive. You really are into the newsletter today.
Yeah, that's right.
Bill's late night becomes your morning. Get expert analysis and latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. By the way, we should mention, and we'll bring JVT in here for this, Giannis with the injury in that Bucks win over the Celtics last night. Immediately, everyone starts asking me because of the two Achilles popping. Is that an Achilles? We didn't get the Zapruder film of the back of his leg, but my comment to Felica and Will was he didn't have my Achilles popped expression, the expression of confusion. And as we learned today that the left Achilles is intact and he is good to go after the MRI. Not good to go, but at least it's not the worst. How quickly his left calf strain will heal will determine, per Woj, when he'll be back.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's instant reaction I've heard was, oh, this is Kevin Durant all over again, like before the Achilles injury. I guess I'm convinced
Durant's popped anyway the first time.
I'm a little shocked by just the initial reactions are still how there's a lot of concern over this and not so much viewing this as good news that it's the MRI came back clean. Oh. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be banged up for the next couple of weeks, but I don't think your season's over now we're talking
it
about.
It ain't good. Let's put it that way. JVT is our senior NBA analyst. He's also the co-host of VSiN Primetime, which he does with Tim Murray each and every weeknight here at the network. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John? Jonathan Von Tobel. Should probably say his name. How you doing, John?
I'm good. And Gil, I think, you know, you could speak to this because, like you said, you had it, right? Because there's also that thought, I think it was Kobe that said it, that he thought somebody had kicked him, right? Or something like that.
That's
when he
always,
popped his Achilles.
Yeah, that's
there's
always
that sensation
thought.
That you think that somebody hit you in the back or whatever. But I'd like to add real quick, I actually think there is reason for concern only because I don't know if you guys saw Damian Lillard's comments yesterday. But he suffered the same injury and he had told the media that it was about a 2-week recovery process for him. And so 2 weeks puts you into the postseason, puts you into that first round. And if that's the case, right, because you don't want to hurry him back because the calf can be pretty touchy. And, of course, as we learned, right, if you're not fully healthy in a calf, then you use other muscles, then maybe that leads to further damage. So if it's, let's say, a 3-6 matchup between you and an Indiana team that you're 1-4 against and you're doing it without Giannis Antetokounmpo, at least for the first two or three games, I mean, guys, we saw the beginning of that Miami Heat series last year, right? He got hurt at the beginning of that series. Yeah, Miami Heat bombed away at an unsustainable rate, but they ended up losing that. So I do think there is cause for concern in terms of if Damian Lillard is correct in terms of the timeline, then that puts you on some shaky ground here if you're the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We were throwing this around a little last segment, not when it came to the Bucks, but I just used it through the lens of an Orlando Magic. Do you think as bettors and as NBA observers, we overrate teams looking at the standings and jockeying for the seeding that they would want? In other words, do we have late, and I'm talking about the last weekend of the NBA season, so the Friday and really the Sunday, where every team plays both on Friday and Sunday, but really the last Sunday, where a team can look up at the standings and say, okay, if we win this game, we're going to be this seed, and that will match us up with Team X. I don't know if we want that. Why don't we lose this and end up in a first-round matchup against this other team? We'd prefer that, and then it might even help us later in the playoffs. Do you think that happens?
I mean, I think we know it does, right? At least it doesn't happen as often as I think we believe it happens.
Yeah.
But, Gil, my team, the Clippers, did it a few years back. They wanted the Dallas Mavericks. And so they went and they tanked out the regular season. I think it was the last two games, if I remember correctly, against the Oklahoma City Thunder. There was like this tank off where both of the teams didn't want to win. And they had like their C teams in. It was nuts. So I don't think it happens as often. And I also think, you know, the Clippers kind of learned their lesson in tanking in that matchup, because then all of a sudden they were in a first-round series with Luka Doncic, and they were like, holy bleep, this sucks. Like, this guy's awesome.
What have we done?
So I think, yeah, right. And, you know, they eventually won the series, but I think that's, we have seen it before. I don't think it happens as frequently, though, as we might think it is. And especially now, down the stretch of a season like this, where you have a team that in, like, Indiana or New York, like, New York's a great example. New York, I think, can finish as high as 2 and as low as 8, guys. Like, that's insane. You don't have room to move around there.
Yeah.
You should just win and let the cards fall as they may. And I think that's probably what we're going to see here in these last couple of games.
I think I've asked this of Drew Dinsick on the show. I'm not sure if I asked this of you, and I'd be curious your thoughts. As a bettor, is there a series, first-round series, in the West or the East that you are praying happens because you know that the betting line is going to be completely different than what you would have it at?
I don't know if it'll be this. We actually talked about this yesterday on VSiN Primetime. I would be fascinated to see what the market would do with Phoenix and Oklahoma City, because I noticed that if you track the market, right, and yesterday was a good example, James Harden gets ruled out. That number really balloons up to like 9.5 for the Phoenix Suns. We know what happens last night. But the market, I think the way I put it is, it's been waiting for any opportunity for the Suns to be good. So it can kind of like jump on this team that we expected to be good. And you saw a little slimmer of that, and their market rating like skyrocketed. So when you get a team like Phoenix, who had all these preseason aspirations that the market was very high on, that is still very high on, taking on an Oklahoma City Thunder team that lacks that experience, how cheap is that price for the Oklahoma City Thunder to win that series against the Phoenix Suns? I don't think we're in a situation, remember, a couple of years back, I think it was against the Phoenix Suns, the Lakers were favorites, even though they were like 7 seeds against a 2 seed. But I do think there's a reality in which we're probably getting some value on the Oklahoma City Thunder if that's our first round matchup, and get a pretty cheap price to lay with OKC. That's the one that's at the top of my head.
I think that was the answer when I first brought this up in February. That was the same series that Drew brought up, which is Phoenix OKC, because it has all the elements you're talking about, right?
Yep.
The market, or the public, but the market, the betting market, is desirous to have the Suns be this big three behemoth, and juxtaposed against the lack of experience, as you said. And that will be, by the way, that could manifest, right? Like, it could happen in the postseason where all of a sudden Phoenix becomes this, oh, look, they're so much better than these kids are, when it really comes down to it. Or it could just be what we saw in the regular season, and it's just a mirage.
I mean, go back to last year, Kelly, and you, we did this on the Harvard Handicappers when it was still going. Like, Kelly, remember, they were favorites over Denver in that series,
yep,
in the semifinals, right? And you and I both were like, I don't understand what's going on here. And that was Denver, who we saw signs of being a pretty dominant team. And now in this time around, by the way, you have Bradley Beal mixed into the equation. That team didn't even have Bradley Beal. And you get OKC, that they had a big comeback last night, but has kind of fallen down by the wayside a little bit. I think they're like 5-16 against the spread in their last 20. won games. Like, this is something that I think is real. Again, I don't think they would be underdogs. The market's done crazy things, so I could be wrong. But I do think we're going to get a pretty cheap series price if that is a first-round series, and that's what I'm hoping we get.
Okay. Denver and Boston are the presumptive favorites to get to the NBA Finals. If it's not Boston and if it's not Denver, give me the teams in each conference that are most likely to get there, in your opinion.
Well, in the East, I think the fallback right now would be the Philadelphia 76ers, just because Joel Embiid is back. He actually looks pretty good. And when he was playing, he looked like he was going to walk away with his MVP award had he been healthy. Now, I will say, Boston, I'm coming more around on the thought that Boston should walk through this Eastern Conference. It's setting up very nicely for them, so it should be the case. But I think right now, Philly's the easy answer. In the West, I think it becomes a little bit harder. And I'll be somewhat stubborn. Look, I do think that what has lost a lot of the Clippers' struggles in the last month have been the fact that there have been a lot of guys that have been in and out of the lineup. Every single one of their key members has been in and out of the lineup. And if we're believing what the Clippers are saying, which is MRI is clean, Kawhi is going to be fine, he's going to be back by the time the postseason starts, I don't know why I would come off of a team that has now won 9 out of their last 12 games, has started to turn things around defensively, and is starting to play very well. Paul George is starting to play really well. You know, somebody who has invested in them at pretty good prices, Gil, I'll just stick by the fact that, look, it's a large sample size of data. I think they made it through the noise. They're starting to turn things around. And if you give me Kawhi Leonard in a playoff series against anybody outside of maybe the Denver Nuggets, I'll take that Clippers team.
All right. Before we get to your picks tonight, thought exercise that I did earlier this week. Boston Celtics, you may have just have hinted at your answer. Total number of losses through the Eastern Conference playoffs. The line is set at 5.5.
Under.
Under. No, without hesitation. I said it at hesitation.
3 yesterday. Yeah, wow. I said it at 3 yesterday. So,
wow.
Look, it's like we talked about, this is setting up for them. And I'll just say really quick, because I know it, but like, this is one where you should not screw this up now if you're Boston. We have seen them stumble so many times. The Bucks are falling apart. Giannis is hurt. Every other team is jockeying for position, but they're all the same similar team, power rated against one another. The Knicks are banged up. The 76ers are a 7 seed, are going to be in the play-in. If you don't get out of this Eastern Conference with 3 to 5 losses, I think it's a failure with this team. And if they don't make it out at all, it's an absolute failure.
I mean, I was going to say, a year ago, wouldn't we have said the same thing, and then the Heat did what they did?
Yep.
Yeah. What do you like tonight, John?
So I haven't really been. The only thing I did was I took a pretty good number on Miami here, and I put a little on the money line, because here's the thing. Dallas, their magic number to clinch that 6 seed or the 5 seed is only 1, but they have Detroit in their next game. So I actually think there's more of a reality, even though the Heat had a double overtime game yesterday, that they actually maybe said some guys don't really care about this game, because all they need is 1 more win to clinch that 5 seed, and they're not surpassing the Clippers. So it was just kind of a guess, because there's a lot of noise with the injury reports today, but that was the only one here. Heat, and then a little bit on the money line.
Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at MeJVT, co-hosting VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray, 6 p.m. Eastern, weeknights here at the network. JVT, thank you, sir. Enjoy the games.
Good to talk to you as always, guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Von Tobel liking his Angels start to the year as well, I would imagine.
Just to clean up a couple injury notes real quick, reports coming down. Giannis expected to miss rest of the season. Cat Trey Young back next couple days.
He means regular season. Will Hill next. For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited-time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits.
Split bet.
Thank God. Now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits, don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. We have not solved this promo.
I think that was the right time. I think that was the right spot.
Oh, split bets?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't want to yell it, though, because we got a couple of great security guards next to us that helped me out first segment. So, you know, I don't want to scream at them right now.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. This is from The Truth, 1980. We've gone a half hour. We haven't even brought this up yet. Shaq said last night that Wemby is Defensive Player of the Year. The bandwagon is growing.
Just need people talking about it.
This is either going to end up as one of two things. Either the biggest just chasm between what actually ends up happening, that he wins it, and what the betting line is. He's still 10-1 to win it. Gobert's still the prohibitive favorite. Or it's just a reminder that nobody, the people voting, are just the biggest idiots in the world. Is that a correct either or?
Sorry.
Just curious.
Or just like awards in general and awards betting in general is silly.
Yeah. That's right. Jed O'Connor, I'm just waiting for my Naz Reid ticket to finally cash. Why do I have a feeling he's going to lose by one vote to Malik Monk? Monk, a short favorite now for sixth man of the year.
Still don't get it.
I bet golf. 7 blocks last night for Wemby. Market unchanged. What are we doing? I don't know. Mickey Baca, question for you and Kelly. You have $100 to bet on both the Eastern and Western Conference winner in the NBA. Who you taking? I think I'm taking Boston and Denver.
Well, if it's your $100, I'm going to mix it in with the Mavericks and the Sixers.
It's your $100. What do you do?
I just bet the Sixers recently, so how about that?
All right. Ngandu Kasuku, where else in the sports betting universe are you going to hear Gil and Wes wax poetic about Teddy Pendergrass? I mean, come on. Oh, he's talking about the Beating the Book Masters podcast, where we were lamenting that one shining moment is just a Luther thing now. We enjoyed the Teddy Pendergrass version.
Yeah.
Teddy Bear back in the day.
I respect your guys' opinion, but no, I like the Luther version better.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure if he enjoys the Luther or the Teddy Bear version better of One Shining Moment, but man... Is he still living off FAU from last year? No, I'm kidding. He's gotten so many things right since then. It's Will Hill, everybody, the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Will, I say that in jest, of course. How you doing, man?
Good. What's going on?
Let's start with the 88th Masters. How much golf do you bet?
Not much. You pick one guy a week to do like first round leader and outright, more recreation. It's funny, I never really bet golf until the pandemic. Remember, it was the first sport back, so I kind of got into it. And I guess I probably just had beginner's luck where I was hitting outrights every few weeks. And I thought I was actually good at it. I guess I'm not. I haven't hit one in a long time. That being said, I did place a little Sergio Garcia 175-1 this week. I mean, he was runner-up last week, lost in the playoffs, so he's in good, decent form here. He won this tournament in 2017, so course history I think is important in the Masters. So, look, just taking a shot at a number, not like I expect to win, but 175-1 on Sergio. I know Fino, like I had Matt Eumanns on, he made a good point about Fino. Fino's had 3 top 10 finishes in the Masters, so you're always looking for guys that play the course well. So, I don't know, have you bet anything on this? Did you mention betting Scheffler? I'm trying to remember.
No, I didn't take it. I'm hoping Scheffler has a less than solid first round performance, and then I can jump in at a better number. Only thing I bet so far is Koepka, despite his poor putting form, just because I don't want to not have Koepka and see that guy just saunter his way around the course, and I know he's going to like just go on tears. So it's Koepka and Matsuyama for me. We'll get to Kelly's on the other side, because Kelly has a bunch more.
Yeah.
That's all I got. By the way, side note, Kelly and I went through a whole 2-hour show yesterday without bringing this up, but we did mention it on, of all things, the Masters podcast. The dunk, the one thing we didn't mention in that in the Purdue-UConn National Championship, the dunk by the kid, was it Heidi on Purdue? Where do you rank that all-time in in-game dunks?
I know it's up there, and I thought it was interesting. Purdue's bench didn't really react. Maybe it's because they kind of knew the game was over. Maybe that was indicative, like, hey, we know we're cooked here. That was incredible. I mean, to just catch it full motion without breaking, like just in one motion to catch it and slam it back, that's, I don't know, top two. I'm trying to think of what's better than that. I don't know. Kelly, can you think of a better dunk than that? It was really good. People, of course, on Twitter, hey, you're overreacting. It's in the moment. That was awesome.
No, that was fantastic. That was the... Okay, it was at least the greatest dunk. Man, my picture's really changed. But at least the greatest dunk I've ever seen in a college basketball game. But there's also the part of it, I'm thinking I might think it's better than it actually was because it's some random college kid that when I saw the ball coming off the rim, I was like, okay, what's this kid going to do? What's he going to do? And then you're like, whoa, like he threw that down. So it was an incredible dunk. It's way up there for me.
I also say this, Will, when you brought up Finau, I always feel the need to say this when you mention Finau as one of your plays, because Finau elicits a groan. Like, you can almost hear the groan. We can't hear the audience, but we can almost hear a groan from people. When Joe Pita was a huge baseball analytics guy, and then he segued into golf. And in 2019, he wrote the Masters Tour Guide, where he got proprietary data from Augusta over the years. It's not available publicly. And when he went through, and I'm talking manually, golfer by golfer, year by year, Finau came out as the guy for him. And by the way, in 2019, when he put that out, Finau ended up being the third round leader. He was the leader after 54 holes. Didn't win at all. But to your point, that should not elicit groans. Like, he has great course history here.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And, boy, it's, you know, I was going to say that 2019, the year Tiger won, it's hard to believe. That's half a decade ago now. That's 5 years ago now.
Oh, just, my God.
It kind of just doesn't make sense sometimes.
That was so surreal. Like, it's almost like, did that really happen? Okay. Baseball. Your Yankees and Dodgers. By the way, congratulations to everybody who had the Yankees and Dodgers. If that was a dead heat for you, some books scored it differently, but Yankees and Dodgers, first two teams to 10. Our Guardians, because I know you have the bet as well, with a bad loss yesterday to the White Sox. What do you like today in baseball?
Horrible loss. Absolutely horrible loss. And it's interesting. Did they grade it as a dead heat, most books? Because it didn't come down to like which game ended first. I know they both ended probably around the same time. So
DraftKings graded as a dead heat.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Not a lot I love in baseball. I did bet White Sox first five team total under 1.5. You can get Bibee under 1.5 runs allowed, earned runs allowed at plus money. I just think that lineup for the White Sox, again, they put up some runs yesterday, but that's not exactly the 27 Yankees that they're sending up to the plate. And Moncada had a terrible injury, so they get a little weaker. I think Bibee's got really good stuff. I really like his game. I know he struggled with his command his first time out. He was really sharp against the Twins last Thursday, I think it was. So I think Bibee will go six innings, no runs, one run, something like that. I like getting that at plus money. Other than that, still kind of going through the props. There's not a lot that really pops out at me. I did bet an NBA game. I did take the game of the night, Minnesota Denver, under the 213.5. I just think this is going to be kind of a playoff atmosphere. There's a lot on the line. If you're going to unseat Denver, the first step is make them play away from home. Get them out of their building for games one and two, for game seven. So Minnesota has always played them tough. I think this will be a slower game, defensive oriented. You start to see this where you know, the playing games are usually unders. Those get bet under. And I think this is sort of like, you know, max intensity game where both teams really bring it defensively. So 213.5 is at DraftKings. I like the under there. And I saw one book has Finch plus 650 to win coach of the year. If Minnesota wins this game and gets a one seed, are we sure Dagnall's going to get it? Finch getting the one without Towns at plus 650? I don't know. I that's a decent bet. Again, we don't usually know what these voters are thinking. I guess Dagnall should be favored, but I don't know. Kelly, is plus 650 enough to take a stab there?
Yeah, I don't blame anybody for making that bet. That's one I feel like I've talked to with a lot of friends about. It's him right there, because you can make that very similar case. I'm a fan of Jamal Mosley. We've brought up a bunch of times with the Magic, but I do think when you're talking one seed in this very crowded Western Conference, I understand why Dags is up there, but yeah, if Timberwolves grab that plus 650, that's a long number for a very impressive feat. So I don't mind that bet at all.
Bezic has chimed in. He says that if that was Michael Jordan making that putback dunk, it would be his number two dunk of all time behind his free throw iconic dunk.
Okay,
so we'll point that out. There it is. The voice of God has spoken. We have our dunk ranking. Will, before you go, 30 seconds. The rash of pitcher Tommy Johns. Big names, seemingly every day. Has it caused you to say, I just can't bet the Cy Young right now?
I lost you. I couldn't make out what you were saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. The rash of Tommy John surgeries to big names. Has it made you reticent to bet Cy Young this early in the season?
Can't hear you. Yankees are 11-2, much better lineup. Maybe you're asking about the Yankees. Yankees looking good, need some pitching. I have no idea. I hear Kelly laughing now. He completely went silent for a second.
This whole show should be asking questions and then answers anything they want to answer.
Yes, yellow gill.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
I got you now. See you guys. Sorry.
Thanks. Will Hill at Not The Will Hill. Should have bet more is the name of his podcast. We'll come back with some golf talk. Kelly's picks next. Action-packed fight card has taken over Las Vegas for UFC 300 and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. J-Rod on Twitter asked me to say something about Steven Strasburg retiring officially from baseball.
Yes.
Which, for those who have listened to a numbers game for as many years as we've been on the air, 7.5 years, We have the recent history of. It's so funny too how the you can tell who's just shown up when it was Spencer Strider and like Puka Nacua, because those folks think they're smart and they're like, oh, you never win these. Yeah, okay. We have won so many bets over the years on this show. And one of them back in the day was the Washington Nationals in the 2019 World Series, where they were huge plus money every day. They were plus money for the series. And my family said it's your obligation to bet the Washington Nationals in that series. And Steven Strasburg was as important to that as anyone. He won two games in that series. He was the series MVP. And for those who rode that back in the day, it was a big win for all of us. Steven Strasburg, who debuted with much fanfare in his debut in Major League Baseball, 14 strikeouts against the Pittsburgh Pirates in his debut. And just a tough career, though, because cut short by injuries. But the man won himself a title and was the MVP doing it. And we cashed along the way. So Steven Strasburg, a special numbers game, pouring out a 40 for his career. Yeah, worth pouring out a 40, by the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think you're telling the truth.
But both that and Steven Strasburg. Yeah. I got to watch him pitch multiple times.
DRS-1, Gangsta Lee, mean anything to you? Nothing? By the way, how great was Ian Eagle when he brought up during the championship game when he brought up the Ski-Lo song? Do you remember that?
No, I do not.
Let's put it this way. Jim Nance would not have said this. Jim Nance would not have gone to the shout out to Ski-Lo. They're taller and they're ballers. Edie and Klingon, he said. And then Grant Hill was like, I don't think Raft knows what you're talking about. And Ian Eagle was like, I'll play Raft some Ski-Lo later. It was great. I don't know. I just appreciated his reference on that. All right.
Man, Bill was talking over everybody for a lot of that broadcast.
Rafter he was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I think it was first half where it was like, rarely do you see like the broadcast teams out of sync. And I was like, Bill, stop talking over everybody. Like it was, there was like a couple minutes where it was happening.
He still sounds great though to me.
He really does. Yeah. He does.
Even the beginning was like, man. All right. By the way, we're tracking Kelly's word of the day this week. Kelly's word of the day on Monday was totality.
That's right.
Because everybody was talking about the eclipse, and they were talking about the totality areas that had the full solar eclipse on Monday. Yesterday, we talked about how this is the chance, our annual chance to use the word debutante,
and use it more yesterday. We'll use it more this week than you will the entire. I don't know. I want to say the whole rest of the
You'll
year, but even more than
again.
That. Yeah, even more than that.
By the way, what we're referring to is that the last debutante to win the Masters was Fuzzy Zeller in 1979, and we say this every year. Why is it that we decided to use the word? Why did we decide to use the word debutante instead of first-time Masters participant or
Masters
rookie?
Yes.
But we go with debutante.
We go with debutante. I don't know. Jeff Vogel also points out on Twitter that we're spelling it wrong. But
that's
this is
correct.
How this is how the books also list it.
There should be an E at the end.
Yes.
That's right.
But you and I were also discussing that before the show, too.
Debutante.
Of the Southern ladies, the debutantes.
It just sounds more like a lady going to a ball.
Right. Which is also, that is another version of it.
Gil, maybe you should do your podcast on a tournament in Miami or Boca, if you know what I mean, rather than here at Augusta.
Delray Beach Open, buddy.
All right, who you got? What did you bet?
Oh, man, I added. You want to run?
I knew this. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to have like 20 bets before this starts.
I didn't add any outrights.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Outrights. Just okay. A lot of the markets we were discussing yesterday that weren't fully up yet here in town, so... Masters. All right. What do you need at the Masters? Well, it's really easy, Gil. You just need someone who can hit it far off the tee. Okay, they have a great approach shot into the green because it's one of the toughest places to hit approach shots. And then if you get on the green, you got to putt on lightning fast greens. If you miss the green, which is also very likely, you got to face some of the most difficult around the green place. So it's really easy to pick a winner here. You know, it's just one of the most difficult courses you're going to play all year. All right, outrights.
Look at your numbers though on these. Wow.
Yeah, outrights. So these are the ones I bet before the tournament. JT, Hideki, Zalatoris. You're not going to get a better Hideki number now. You could get better Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris numbers if you want. I don't hate either one of those guys this week, but both of them are kind of working through some things. They are not guys that you are going to see on the rest of my card. I did not add back on top of them. Decky, I love him. He's my guy this week. I don't know if I want to say my favorite guy to win the event, but I guess I will say it, put it that way. I do think, yes, Scheffler, Rahm will have something to say about that at the top. But I love him in the outright market at 20 plus to 1. Love him on a top 20. Played him in a matchup as well. Wyndham Clark did make on my outright card. That is a smaller bet for me, though. Did focus on him more in the top debutant market.
He is a debutant.
And that one I really suggest people shop around with, too, because there were I found very, very wide-ranging numbers. Clark is short as, like, plus 280. I got him at plus 450. So shop around that one. Shane Lowry, really like him this week as well. Lowry had played great in Florida earlier this year. And you're talking about second in approach in the field over the last 12 rounds, fourth in par four scoring, fifth on par fives. Why is that important? Par fives, over 70% of your scoring is going to come on the par fives. You've got to score on these par fives. You got to survive the par threes and the par fours. But this is where you got to make birdies. Is your par fives. Four straight top 25 finishes as well for Shane Lowry at the Masters. Has done really well here. We've seen him win and play really well in the rain, if we are concerned about that. Kevin Roth on later on the show, a meteorologist, will discuss, the Masters weather with us.
A little Doppler radar report.
Exactly. Tomorrow, we're back. This keeps changing. I'll keep bringing it up. The afternoon is starting to look better tomorrow, but the morning is still a disaster. So, that could
rain
mean a lot
wind.
Of things.
Rain and wind.
So yeah. it could mean pushing some of those morning groups back and getting delayed and delaying everything, or maybe not. We'll have to see. Top 10s, Xander Schauffele and Joaquin Neiman. That's where I attacked them. That's a pretty big bet on Xander for me at that number. Do really like him this week. Just not willing to go in the outright market with him. Neiman, I get why there's a lot of people really liking Neiman. I loved Neiman when he was still on the PGA Tour. It's great to see that he's keeping up his competitive play on the LIV Tour. I don't know fully what to expect, Gil. You know, I'm not the biggest LIV guy, but Neiman's game has been suited for this course for a long time. T16 here last year. So I played him in the top 10 market at plus 225. Top 20s. Biggest bet of the event for me is Decky in the top 20 market at that number. I got it minus 135. I know most places it's like minus 160, minus 170 now. Lowry's smaller there because I played him in some matchups. Siwoo Kim, pretty big top 20 bet there because I couldn't find any matchups I liked for him. I really like Siwoo Kim this week as well to hang around in that top 20 range. Now for graphic number two, Gil.
Oh, wow. I thought we were done.
tournament matchups.
I had questions.
Corey Connors over Patrick Reed. I like Corey Connors this week. Patrick Reed, done really well with the Masters before in the past. Connors, though, this was the place I thought I could get some good exposure on. Matsuyama over Jordan Spieth. Not that I think Jordan Spieth's going to have a really bad Masters, but just the way that I have these guys rated, Matsuyama's more than minus 120 over him to me. Tony Finau, minus 120 over Tommy Fleetwood. That was an ad for me yesterday. I know we talked a little bit about Finau earlier. Shane Lowry, then, in two matchups, again, over Colin Morikawa, over Matt Fitzpatrick at plus money. And then I took Will Zalatoris. I talked about Zalatoris before. Plus 140, though, over Ludvig Åberg in his first appearance here. That was too big of a number for me to pass up. And then some quick props. Corey Connors, top Canadian. Wyndham Clark, top debutant.
Is your operating assumption, then, based on the weather, that the players who are teeing off later tomorrow have some kind of incremental advantage?
Maybe. I think it's very, very dicey going too far down that rabbit hole because there is, if the weather is so bad in the morning, so some of those, but the morning tee times could get pushed back. If play gets suspended, those guys might have to finish up later on Thursday. And then you're talking those guys that have late tee times on Thursday, they might have to do the whole finish their first round Friday morning and then play their second round on Friday. So there could be, I'm not going to try to attack this weather probably much at all.
Also want to always point this out about the Masters when it comes to in-tournament betting. The last 19 years, if you were not in the top 10 after the first round, you do not win the tournament.
Okay, so glad you brought that up.
You must be in the top 10.
So glad you brought that up. I know we talked about this yesterday. I don't remember on the pod or the show. That's why, like, At least Decky, I'll still be playing a first-round bet on. I don't know how many others.
So just keep that in mind. You have to be in the top 10, at least the last 19 years tells you. You have to be in the top 10 after the first round to win the tournament. We'll talk some golf with Ben Rossa from